Okay, good evening, everybody. Welcome back to our learning at Sha'arei. I hope that everyone had a meaningful and uplifting Yom Tov, Zman Matan Torah Seinu, and it was fulfilling both in Divrei Torah and a lot of Ruchnias, and that you had yummy food also to enhance the Simchas Yom Tov. So we are learning the Zecher and Lilui Nishmasa, Miriam Fron, Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzhak, Allah HaShalom. May her neshama continue to have an aliyah in the schos of the Divrei Torah that we share. And we, of course, thank the Frun family very, very much for their commitment to this Harbatzos HaTorah, the Zecher Nishmas, their mother, Allah HaShalom. So I'm just going to start with we were away for Shavuos. We had a beautiful Yom Tov, Baruch Hashem, at the Y reached Shavuos Yarche Kal. It was really just phenomenal, Baruch Hashem, quite a schos. So we were away, so when I was packing, I said to my husband, do you think I need any reading material besides Mishpacha between my shiurim and other shiurim and the su'udos? And I mean, there was barely any time to sleep. It's good I didn't take any reading material because I really did not have any time besides for Parsha, whatever. So I didn't even get to read Mishpacha at all, but I was just flipping through a couple of the, there were like these, I don't know, these narratives in Family First. I think I even saw this after Shavuos. It doesn't matter. This one really struck me. It's very, very powerful, and it reminded me a lot of the inyanim that we discuss in this shir, because it's really about emunah in a very powerful way. So this will just be our introduction to the shir before we go back to the matters in the sefer that we are speaking about. So if you have Mishpacha from Shavuos, you want to know where I'm quoting from, because I like to make sure it was this family first, Shavuos is family first, and they have these different like narratives on counting. A different counting, because it was Shavuos comes at the end of our count. So these were different narratives on counting. And I found this one to be very painful, very powerful, and very illustrative of our personal hopes and longing. And even though she doesn't write it, our longing for Mashiach by the Ilas HaChag. Always have such a beautiful Ne'ilas HaChag at the Y reach Shavuos Yarche Kal. It's just so beautiful. They didn't have it the past years, 20 and 21. They didn't have it because of COVID. So this was the first time back since 2019. They have such a beautiful Ne'ilas HaChag. And one of the last songs that they sing is Ani Mamin. So this piece reminded me not only of personal Yeshuos that we are waiting for, but also of our national hope and longing for redemption. B'shuv Hashem Eshivat Zion Hayinu Kecholmim. So I'm going to read it. It's called A Thousand Lifetimes of Waiting. Good evening. By Sari Abraham. A Thousand Lifetimes of Waiting. My eyes have wasted away watching for your salvation, saying, when will you comfort me? Had you told me when I was 12 years old, on that gentle cusp of adulthood, that most of my future life would be spent waiting, watching for your salvation, I would have laughed. I would have snorted in contempt. Had I believed it, I would have ended it all. The words leap off the page, suddenly so much more real than the prayers mumbled. Waiting, watching for your salvation, counting the days, Tehillim, the whole thing, every day for 40 days. I remembered the story in my family lore, how my ancestors had been answered that way. I would do it too. The first few days I managed to finish Tehillim every day for 40 days, but it got harder and harder, my exhaustion compounding, and how was I supposed to make Pesach while saying Tehillim all day? Pushing, pushing, desperately counting to the finish line. Seder night, the 40th night, the heavens themselves cracking open with thunder and lightning, promising me the world on this night of miracles. Shir HaShirim, I would say for 40 days. Surely Shir HaShirim would arouse heavenly mercy. Counting, dragging myself through the days, focusing through the tears. Concentrate, I'm almost there. Okay, daven three times a day, I was told. Surely that will bring the Yeshua. Daven, daven, daven every day, and day after day after endless day. The Mekubal gave me papers with psukim. Say these verses for 40 days, he said, and you will see Yeshua, salvation. Forcing myself through the long read, 40 days. Get rid of your internet, I was told, and you will marry Yeshua's Bekarov. I only learned how viciously hard that was after it was done. My connection to the world unplugged. I counted the days. How long was Yeshua Bekarov? How long is Bekarov? How many days could it be? How many months away could it be? Surely now, today, tomorrow, next week, next year? go walk by the sea is a segula, I was told. I went to walk by the sea. I watched the endless blue on the horizon. I prayed in solitude, walking through the sand. I was waiting, watching, hoping, counting the days. I was advised once again to say Tehillim, the whole Sefer Tehillim, as much as possible. I said it every week. It took all I had, counting week after week, month after month after month. And then I stopped because I couldn't do it anymore. And a long year passed, and things only got worse. I pulled on my Tehillim. I started again, the words jumping out at me, fading out into the tired fog of another day, day after day, after week after month. Walking in the dead of night down alleys and streets and highways, walking, 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 knowing that no one could hear me but him, pressing myself against the walls, black on black, talking to him, pouring out my heart to him, crying to him, night after night after night. Surely, after enough nights, he will answer, trusting him, letting go of all my fears and all my skepticism and all my cynicism, falling onto the concrete and giving up. And again, months, years later, pulling together everything I had and everything I didn't have, giving it up, giving it over into his hands, trusting him to take care of me with revealed good, and falling down once again. Yamim Tovim, a beacon on the shore, my only source of hope, counting the strokes of my oars until I would reach the promised land. Rosh Hashanah is coming when all is laid open for rebirth. Sukkot is coming when he only wants us to embrace, when he wants only to embrace us. Kislev is coming, the time of miracles blazing through the darkness. Tu Bishvat is coming, it's a time of growth and renewal. Purim is coming, salvation that reaches out within nature. Pesach is coming, the night of the glorious redemption. Oh, how I counted to Shavuos each and every year. The numbers held great promise, a story, something great yet untold. And despite everything, my worn out, my tired, my ever more cynical eyes, when I counted towards Shavuos, I lit up, counting down to the days when we are one with God. Surely then he will answer me. And now I am reaching the end of my strength, and the end of my counting. I've learned many things along my journey, and yet I have learned nothing at all. I've learned that so many people do not understand. They do not understand me because perhaps they do not truly understand suffering. I've learned my friends can fall by the wayside when things get rough. Nobody likes the really painful and the really ugly. I've learned that as many inspiring stories and inspiring speeches you hear, the inspiring ending won't always happen to you. I've learned that you can turn to Hashem with a broken heart, call out to your Father when no one else is left, sobbing, crying, Abba, Abba, Abba. I've learned that you still might not get an answer. What else have I learned? I've learned sometimes he supervises through the window, clear as glass, for all to see. She's paraphrasing Shir HaShirim, even though she doesn't say it. It's a pasuk from Shir HaShirim that the Ribbono Shel Olam is described as Mashkiach min hachalonot, meitzitz min hacharikim. We've all seen the trisim in Eretz Yisrael. So a chalon is a clear paint. I should have explained this before, so I wouldn't have to interrupt the power of the narrative. But a chalon is if someone stands behind the window, so you could see. You could see them, and they could see you. Sometimes Hashem is Mashkiach min hachalonot. Mashkiach is a supervisor. He supervises us from behind a window. There's a window, and you pull up the shades. You could see the person behind the window, and they could see you. I mean, sometimes Hashem is visible, but the rest of the pasuk says, "Meitzitz min acharikum." He peers from the lattices. You've all seen trisim in Eretz Yisrael, those teeny slats, and sometimes you can't, see, you don't see what's behind the slats. If you've ever been, I remember when I was like in seminary, we went to Simchas Beis Hashoeva Meir Sha'arim. I don't remember which chassidus it was. It was like upstairs. I don't know if it was Toldos Aron, I don't remember what it was. Upstairs, and when you peer through the lattices, they can't see you. You could see them, but they can't see you. So Hashem has these two types of interaction. Sometimes he is a meshkiach min hachalonot. We can see him, and he can see us. Sometimes it's meitzitz min hacharikim. Sometimes he sees us but we do not see him. What do you need, Abigail? Oh, of course. Here, take it. Abigail, take the box. What else have I learned? Sorry to interrupt, because it really didn't need interruption, but I wanted you to know what she's paraphrasing. So I'm actually going to go back a little. And now I'm reaching the end of my strength, the end of my counting, the end of counting. I've learned many things along my journey, and I've learned nothing at all. I've learned that so many people do not understand me, perhaps because they truly do not understand suffering. I've learned that friends can fall by the wayside when things get rough. Nobody likes the really difficult, the really ugly. I've learned that as many inspiring stories and as many inspiring speeches you hear, the inspiring ending won't always happen to you. I've learned you can turn to Hashem with a broken heart, call to your father when no one else is left, sobbing, crying, Abba, Abba, Abba. I've learned that you still might not get an answer. What else have I learned? I've learned sometimes he supervises through the window, clear as glass, for us all to see. And sometimes he only peeks through the cracks, so fast, I'm not sure if I saw him there or not. Signs of hope, teases of salvation, flashes in the dark that say someone is there, peeking through the cracks. Though the door is barred to me as I pound on the door. What else have I learned? All I've learned is that I don't know anything. I don't understand anything. And neither does anyone else. The words jump out at me from the pages of Tehillim. And I, to you, I still scream, Hashem. And in the morning, my prayers will greet you. On the night our ancestors walked through the split seas, I once more gave him my full trust in miracles. And I told Hashem, I am still waiting. Shavuos is coming, and I am waiting. And even though I am still waiting, I still continue to count. I thought it was really powerful. And I thought it was also brilliant because she doesn't name the Nisayon, which means it speaks to anybody and everybody who's waiting for any sort of Yeshua. She does not say what it is, what exactly the Yeshua she's waiting for, which makes it even more powerful, because it speaks to anybody who has ever asked the Ribbono Shel Olam for Amat Naschinam and waited and waited and waited. And I thought, obviously, I bring it to this class because I just think it's so powerful. It really, really, really is a powerful illustration of what it means to have Emunah. It's easy to have Emunah, and everything in life makes sense. It's much harder to have Emunah when, like the author describes, you wait and you count and you wait and you count and you do every prayer in school under the sun, and yet you still wait and yet you continue to count. I thought it was really very, very powerful. So it also is the story of our national redemption. I'm waiting for the ultimate geula, which is the ultimate hope. Like I mentioned at the someone is on this Zoom who is at the yeshiva, my Shavuos Ritz Yarche Kala with me. One of the Zoom participants was there as well. And I mentioned that at the Niel Sechag, one of the last songs they sing is Ani Mamin. And really, that's the story of our nation. How many of our ancestors, how many tears have been shed, how many times have we pounded on the door, how many tzaras have Knesset Israel faced, how long is this geula? And we're counting and counting and waiting and waiting. We should just be zocha halavai that the door should open and the Ribbono Shel Olam should, in a revealed way, answer our tefillos for whichever Yeshua we're waiting, and certainly for the national Yeshua. I want to share with you, so that's one thing I was very, very, very moved. The other thing, I don't know if it speaks to you or not, but I hope not. If it doesn't speak to you, it means you're at Baruch Hashem not waiting, but you should be waiting for your Mashiach. I also want to share with you a email that I received from somebody that really is such a chizek, and it's really a chizek of, hello, you were just on Zoom.
It was traffic.
Oh, okay. Mind. I thought maybe you were already in Eretz Yisrael, and you were jet lag, so you were zooming in. I saw you on Zoom. Okay, Bruch Abba. So, and this is from an online listener. She listens on a YU Torah, every week. So she lives in a different state. She actually lives across the country. And I'm not going to say any names, but she reached out to me. And this is just such a chizuk of what we all, I hope, derive from the shir and what we all learn from the shir. So just listen to this. Came Erev Yontov. I didn't have time to reply. Some of you, Malki Sultan, I didn't have time to reply. Esti, didn't have time to reply to any emails. Rachi Fried, all of you who emailed me different Devei Torah, insight stories. I didn't have time before Yontov. This was another one that came Erev Yontov. Okay. She lives, again, across the country. So I just needed to share this with you. Sorry it's so long! Exclamation mark. My husband had jury duty this week, so he had to take the week off from work. This is last week, okay? He had to take the week off from work, which is not something he does easily, but he had no choice. Every single day when he called in, he was told not to report. Last night, so this is Thursday night, Erev 3 day Chag and Chutz Laaretz, last night he called in, he was told to report today! Exclamation mark. He doesn't work on Fridays, and he always does my shopping for me and helps me prepare for Shabbos since I don't drive. Erev Shabbos and Erev Chag with a household full of people and a full day of errands, I looked at him and he had to go into jury duty on the day of the week. He called in every day. And I said, okay, we will figure it out. I'm sure there's a reason that you had to be home all week. Quote, the whole thing's a quote. In the past, I would have literally broken up into teeny little pieces and cried. I can honestly say, capital letters, this is directly connected with listening to your shir and internalizing what you're teaching us. By the way, she doesn't say which shir it is, but I figured it. And when I replied to her, I said, P.S., are you talking about Shaarei because you don't specify? And she said, yes, and I realized that. She's not talking about the Parsha, she's not talking about Chagim, she's not talking about Tanakh, it's not about Megillas Rus. I can honestly say, capital letters, this is directly connected with listening to your shir and internalizing while you are teaching us. It has definitely changed my attitude and outlook on so many things. I am forever grateful. Have a wonderful, restful, meaningful Chag. So I think it should be a chizuk for all of us who join this year, whether you come in person or you come in Zoom or you're a YU Torah listener. And it's a real big chizuk because that's the whole point. It's very nice to intellectually learn, but it's much more important that the learning should, besides for the 45 minutes that we sit in the shir, whether you're now or on the recording, it's much more important to take everything that we speak about and apply it to our lives. That's the whole point of the learning. Lilmod ulamed lishmer v'la'asos, the climb is called v'etamu tor secha bahava. So of course we should learn. If you don't learn, you don't know what to do. So you have to learn, but then you have to apply. Can't just be a mental exercise. It has to be a mental exercise and a voda shabalev as practical application in life. I thought that was tremendous. So here's someone who totally did not freak out. She remained totally calm. The whole week he was off. He didn't have to go to work. Dafka Friday, Erev 3 day Chag, that's when he's called in. And she says, I was totally calm. I said, okay, we'll work it out. Not one tear because of Baruch Hashem, the Divrei Torah that we share. So I thought that was very powerful and I wanted to share that chizuk with everybody. With that, I think of these two things. I'm going to keep teaching. I'm much more prepared. But I think those two things, like I could say Dayenu, and this year accomplished, I feel, what the purpose of this year is. Welcome. Okay, so let us now continue in the Sefer. Okay, we are in the chapter called The Essence of I. The Essence of I, and it is in quotation marks. Okay. The need to understand the soul before starting the weather. We're starting a new subheading, a new subchapter, by the way. Okay, but we're talking about the essence of I. So what is the I? Who am I? What does it mean? To work with an idea, one must strive to understand its nature fully. So that makes sense, right? You can't work with an idea if you don't understand what you're talking about. First, you have to understand what you're working with, and then you have to be able to apply. You have to strive to understand the nature before you can work with an idea. Okay, for example, so let's say, I don't know, I'm going to give you another example. Let's say you want to bake challah, but you never baked challah before and you have no idea anything about baking and you don't know that yeast rises in warm water with a little bit of sugar. You have no idea what you're doing. So it's a good chance, if you don't read into the recipe properly and you don't understand the steps, that the challah is not going to work. It's probably not going to work. If you put in ice cold water with yeast and no sugar, so I don't know, I never tried it, I don't have time to waste to do such an experiment. But
who uses salt instead of sugar?
You could use salt instead of sugar. Oh, very good. Let's say you use salt. You say, okay, white crystals.
Oh,
let's say you use salt instead of sugar. So if you don't understand the idea behind what you're doing, then it's not going to work. So to work with an idea, one must strive to understand its nature fully. So interesting. One of the things we heard on Shavuos, Rabbi Penner gave an afternoon shir, one of the afternoons on in January. There was a delegation from Yeshiva University that went on a Shemitah farm tour trip, and Otzar based in to Eretz Yisrael. So Rabbi Panner said they were on the first flight out of New York when Israel went off the red list. They were orange. And the airport, the customs officials didn't even have the official documentation. He said they had to go online on their phones and show them in the news that Israel's not a red country anymore. So they were on the first plane out. And he said something that was so amazing. I don't mean this in any wrong way. I'm only quoting Rabbi Panner. He said it was incredible to visit these Shemitah farms and to sit there. And he said not all the farmers who keep Shemitah are Tati. He said, one of these women, she's giving them a whole lesson on tefillah and shemitah. He said she's wearing jeans and clearly not Tati in the way we understand it. But he said her emunah is unbelievable. And one of the farmers, he says, it's amazing to sit there. And the farmers, he said, are explaining to Rav Herschel Schechter what the Mishnah in Zra'i means. But he reiterated Naomi Rubin, I'm not sure if you were in that shir or not, but he said there was like parallel shir every time. But it was so interesting. He said it was incredible to sit there, and he said this. It was mind blowing to watch the farmers teaching of Herschel Schechter Shlita what the Mishnah means. Why? Because they're farmers, they're working the land, so they know exactly and they understand exactly what the Mishnah means. So what is that? And obviously I do not mean to take anything away from the Posek Hadorah and the Gadol, but I'm just giving an idea of you have to understand the nature fully. Only a farmer could really understand the nature fully. If you're not working the land, you can't fully understand what it means. They said that about Rebelsky, that he learned he would climb into the vats he was the senior posik of the OU. Oh, Yibadu L'chaim Tovim Veruchim with Rav Herschel Schechter Shlita. They were the senior posikim. Rav Herschel Schechter is the senior posik. Rebelsky was a senior co-posek of the OU. He would climb into the vats in the plant to understand the kashrus issues. So how do you understand it fully? You understand it fully by working with an idea. You have to get your hands dirty. You have to know what you're talking about. You have to know what's going to cause the yeast. What's it called? Poof, the yeast? Proof?
Yeah.
With an R?
Yeah.
Yeah.
R-O-O.
What?
P-R-O-O.
Oh, proof. Okay, so you have to proof the yeast. If you put in salt, you put in ice cold water, leave out the sugar, it's not going to work. If you want to know what the Mishnah is telling you about keeping Shemitah, so go to the farm in Israel and talk to the farmers, and you're going to know. If you want to know the kashrus shaida from the plant, not that I know anything about. I know about the challah. The other two examples I don't know anything about. You got to climb into the vat to understand what I'm talking about. To work with an idea. So we just gave three concrete examples. To work with an idea, one must strive to understand the nature fully. Now, the mechaber, the author, is going to give his own example. For example, a person might sit in a car and want to drive. If he doesn't understand how it works, he will almost certainly crash. He must understand what all the controls in the car accomplish, and then he may start using it. You know, there was just recently, I told you that I stopped reading the news, Bli Ein Hara, quite a while ago, a few months ago, but I saw it was a Mishpacha Junior, so I did see it. There was a guy who landed a plane. It was also in the Jewish home a couple of weeks ago. Did you see her about this? No? So you don't read Mishpacha Junior or the news. So, Naomi Rubin was there also. It was very interesting. Yes, it was. Okay, so we were both in the same Shibura by Penner that afternoon on Shemitah. So I don't know where they were flying to and from. It was also in the Jewish home a few weeks ago. So there was a small plane, a private plane, with two passengers and a pilot. And the pilot said to the passengers, I'm not feeling well. And then he passed out at the controls. And one of the passengers got onto the radio control with air traffic control. And he said, the pilot just passed out. I have no idea how to fly this plane. Oh, I should have brought Mishpacha Junior. I only brought family first. I didn't think about it. So he says, I have no idea how to fly this plane. And they said it was a total miracle. He was a hero, they said. They guided him. They told him what to do, and he landed the plane. So that is the one in a million case. Usually what's going to happen is it's not going to work out with such a happy ending. So if a person doesn't know how to use a car, or if you don't know how to fly a plane, and you try and sit down behind the cockpit or behind the driver's seat, it's not a good chance that it's going to work out well for you. You have to understand what all the controls on the car accomplish. Then you could start using it. You have to know how to bechala. But then you could bake the challah. You have to know what goes on in the vat. Then you could say if you give your hashgacha to this or not. And I know I'm talking about gedolei b'Yisrael, but I'm just using this idea where you see gedolim understand the process in order to know what we're talking about. The same is true with avodas Hashem. You have to know who your allies are. You have to know who your enemies are. I'm talking about internally. You have to know what the mitzvahs do to you. You have to know what the averas do to you. Estikon, you don't know how many times I think about why am I talking. I was just thinking about it on the car on my way over here because I was reviewing in my head a number of Kabbalahs I'm currently working on. So one of them is regarding speaking about a certain Indian. It's so hard. I don't know why it's so hard. Baruch Hashem, Bli Ein Hara, it's going okay. It's just very hard. And I keep reminding myself, why am I talking? So before a person wants to work with his soul, He must understand the nature of the soil. You have to understand the nature of yeast for bread. You have to understand the nature of the farm to know the Mishnah's rhyme. You have to understand the nature of what goes on in the vat to give a halachic psak. You have to understand the nature of the plane to fly the plane before. So everything in the Gashmias realm has a parallel. We've said this many times. Well known. Has a parallel in the Ruchnius realm. So whatever happens in the Gashmius realm has a parallel in the Ruchnius realm. Before a person wants to work with his soul, you must understand the nature of the soul. You have to understand what you're working with. Then he will be able to direct all his faculties and bring them into service of the Creator. You can't just jump in without knowing what you're doing. Man was created with two yods. We know that. Excuse me. So those two yods represent the Yetzer Tov and the Yetzer Hara. Whereas animals were only created, something I stress very often, animals were only created with one yod. They only have one drive that's called instinct. But we have to understand the nature of this Yetzer Hara and the nature of this Yetzer Tov in order to know what we're working with, how to approach it, and how to go into battle. Then he will be able to direct all of his faculties and bring them into the service of the Creator. Each person is a Yetzer Tov, what we translate as a good inclination, and a Yetzer Hara, a bad inclination. And the first step is to recognize these powers. So that was very interesting. It's like validate it. Okay, you have a Yetzer Hara. I mean, you want to be exempt. Okay, maybe you want to be exempt. But like Lamaisa, everyone has this. It's not just one person in the world. It's not just 10 people in the world. Two yods. Every man was created in the image of Adam or Rishon. Adam was created with two yodin because they represented two Yetzers. B'chol avavcha. Paraguvav Pasuk Hey in Devarim, serve God with all your heart. B'shnei Yitziracha. So it's a fact. So no one should be insulted when I say we have a Yetzer Hara. It's a fact of Torah that we all have a Yetzer Hara. Each person has a Yetzer Tov and a Yetzer Hara. The first step is you have to recognize, you have to know what you're working with. So validate. He must identify what each one is telling him and what the balance of power in his soul is. So what's the balance of power in our soul? Between these two eyes, you have the eye of the Yetzer Hara, what it wants you to do, talk when you shouldn't be talking, and you have the eye of the Yetzer HaTov, what it wants you to do, which is hold back when you should not be, the Yetzer HaTov wants you to speak nicely, the Yetzer Hara wants you to speak negatively. So which one is going to win out? Know the balance of power. We will provide an example. I thought this was very interesting, especially coming off of the Shavuos program when it was so amazing. Besides the Divrei Torah, the Kemach was out of this world, outrageous. So here we go. What's the example? We'll provide an example. A person may desire to eat a particular food. So he's mamish bringing it down to a very gashmistic realm. Okay, let's take the most gashmistic example you could think of, kamach. Kamach and Torah go together, but Torah represents everything spiritual, and kamach represents everything physical. A person may have a desire to eat a particular food. He decides to conquer this desire, right? He decides he will only eat certain foods. He will not eat that desired food. There is a quote from Neheni Mach's biography. I could not find it when I was preparing Shir. And I couldn't look through all 600 pages of this book, 550. But there's one place in the book, so I'm going to quote a different example. There's one place in the book, she says, a person has to daven for everything. She says, I say, Hashem, help me. If you don't help me close my mouth right now, I'm going to eat every piece of cake in the house. But I couldn't find it, which is the perfect quote, and I didn't make it up. It's somewhere in these 550 pages. It's really the perfect quote for this. You may desire to eat a particular food, and you decide to conquer this desire. You will only eat certain foods, but not that desire for you.
You
want to...
Told us about.
I can't hear.
I forget which
Rav.
I don't know if it was
Rav Nassim
Svi. Somebody who wouldn't eat taffy.
Someone who?
Who said he wasn't
going to
eat taffy anymore, just so people.
Rav Nassim Svi.
Okay, what?
Rav Nassim Svi Finkel's that took up a Kabbalah upon himself not to eat taffies anymore. Very nice. He didn't think about us preparing. Because he said, if I prove to myself that I could withhold from eating taffies, it means I could hold her back from Bikur Nisyonos. Very nice. Okay, so a different. Nancy remembers it also. Very
Nancy.
Good, Nancy. Very good. Shawnee says hello. So here's a different quote on food. Okay, since the author is currently talking about this taiva and this desire for food. Henny's Torah teachings. Henny machas ala Hashem. Tu Bishvat is for fixing the way we eat. That's what Henny's. This is the gray section. So the gray section is her actual teachings verbatim. Tu Bishvat is for fixing the way we eat. Food shows Hashem's love. He could have created us, so we take a vitamin that has no taste once a day or once a year. Wouldn't be weird, that's just how it would be, right? But Hashem made taste buds so we could have physical pleasure from the food we eat. So it's interesting because this week's parsha is the Nazir parsha in Chutz Arts, Parshas Naso. Right after the Sota, we have the Nazir. Chazal say someone who sees the Sota in her purse, she's sitting in Shar Nicanor, which is in the east. The east is the entrance to the Beis Hamikdash. The east is the entrance to the Mishkan. The east is the front of the encampment. Even though we tend to think of north as the front, east is really the front. They stand at Shar Nicanor, which is where everybody comes in to go into the Beis Hamikdash. It's a very public place. Someone who sees a Sota in her curse should, in her ruination, if you will, should take upon himself to be a Nazir. But it's interesting because he has to abstain from physical pleasures of this world in his Naziris. I don't know how you translate Nazir into English, because Nazirite sounds Nazirite. Christian, so that's not what I mean. No. So anyway, but at the end he has to bring a Korban Chatas. So one of the reasons he has to do so is because Hashem, the highest level of living in this world is not abstaining. We don't have monks or Buddhas who go live in a certain temple and they don't talk. Jews are not like that. And they don't marry women and they abstain in austere, am I saying the word right? The most austere conditions. That is not the approach of Yahadus. I mean, we just had Yantif. Whether you were in a hotel or you were at home, I'm sure you had a plethora of delicious foods that covered Yom Tov. So the highest level of Avodas Hashem is not abstaining from grape juice, grapes, raisins, wine, etc. The highest level is knowing how to involve yourself with the foods of this world and elevating that for your Avodas Hashem. And Henny points out something very interesting. He could have created us with a vitamin. You take it once a day or even once a year. It wouldn't be weird. Hashem could do whatever he wants and you would be sustained. No, Hashem didn't do that. Hashem made taste buds so we could have physical pleasure from the foods we eat. I just thought of something very, very interesting as well, which relates to the man. I just thought of that. Also, we know that the man famously tasted like whatever they wanted it to taste like, but it was a miraculous food in the first place. Why didn't it taste like anything? It's not the real food. It's like covered in honey, like a wafer between two layers of dew, white like crystal. I don't know how it looked exactly, but that's how it describes. Why doesn't it have taste? So it shows you that Hashem wants you to have pleasure from this world. Remember what's the first command in the Torah?
Isn't it Peru or Revu?
I can't hear, I'm sorry.
Peru or Revu, the Kishu at the Aretz? Isn't it Peru or Revu?
Could you please say it one more time?
Peru or Revu,
okay.
Kishu at the
Aretz? Okay, so no. That's 127, and that's actually not. That's Vayuvarech Osam Elokim Vayom Ralehem Peru Revu Milus Aretz Vekivshu Arudu Bidgastriam Vofa Shemaim. No. Vayivarchem Osam. That's a blessing. So I was thinking something very interesting. Why can't it be a command? Because you could only be Osek b'Piriyah v'Rivya, Masechah Shabbos Lamed Aleph Aleph. One of the six questions will be asked in the Olam HaEmes, were you Osek b'Piriyah v'Rivya? Were you busy with it? Did you try to fulfill the mitzvah? Hashem can't command you to do something that's beyond your control. How could he command mankind to do Purvu when some people, not by choice, okay, not Aaron Onan who spilled their seed, not by choice, cannot fulfill that mitzvah. So it's a blessing. Look in the Pasuk. It's not a tzivui. Okay? And the Gemara says that that's one of the six questions will be asked on the Olam HaEmes. Asakta b'piria v'rivya. It doesn't say, did you fulfill, be fruitful, multiply? Did you try to fulfill? Were you busy with trying to fulfill? Then everyone should be able to say yes if you were in some way involved in it. Lamaisa, the end result's up to God. It's not up to us. Okay? So that's right. The first command in the Torah, after Purvu, what most people say is don't eat from the Eitz Hadas. That's also not correct, even though no one here said it. The first command in the Torah, and this comes from the Meshech Chachma. The Torah, it's so beautiful, even though I didn't bring the Meshech Chachma, I don't have it in front of me, but the Meshech Chachma says, it doesn't matter, okay, Gamzu the Torah. Vayitzav Hashem Elokim al ha'adam lemor. That's the first time you see Tzivui. Mikol Eitz Hagan Ochel Tochal. That's the first command in the Torah. Eat. That's the first time you see tzivui, and that's in regard to eat. We call it tzagan ochel tochel. Okay, I don't know who J.S. is, but you are correct. The answer is eat of the fruit. Okay? We call it tzagan ochel tochel. Man the Meshech Chachma quotes Yerushalmi, Meir Simcha Koimi Divinsk. He's very famous because we just had Parshas Bechukosai and his famous, they think, Berlin is Yerushalayim, which he wrote in the 1800s. Okay, so he taught a lot of things besides that, but he's perhaps the most famous for that on the Klados. And he quotes a Yerushalmi, and the Yerushalmi says that when we got up to the Olam Emes after 120 years, the Hashem's going to ask us, you know, you're going to be showed different fruits and foods, and why didn't you enjoy these? Now, I'm not talking about artery clogging, saturated fat, suicidal foods that Hashem will probably not say, why didn't you eat these? But then we call it Eitzagan. So from the healthy, delicious, tasty stuff, the green grapes and the different color green kiwi and the green apples and green celery, green cucumber, Ein Sayar Kalokinu, says Chana in her tefillah. There's no artist like Hashem. So Hashem's going to say, the Meshachach Motz Yerushalmi, why didn't you eat? Why didn't you enjoy my world? First command in Torah is to actually enjoy the world of the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's gvaldik. So going back to Hani Machas, Tu Bishvat is a day for fixing the way we eat. Food shows Hashem's love. He could have created us, so we take a vitamin. It has no taste. One day, once a year, Hashem made taste buds, so we have physical pleasure from the food we eat, and we related this to the man. Why does a man need to have taste? All I need to do is sustain them. It had to taste like something. Why? Because Hashem wants us to have pleasure from that. And he didn't make one kind of food. He made hundreds of foods. Hundreds of different flavors, different textures, different tastes. I'm going to add different colors. Look at a fruit platter. Look at a fruit table. No human being could come up with something so gorgeous. So we could enjoy the food. When it's visually appealing, and when it smells good, and when it tastes good, you want to eat it. So it shows you that we're supposed to eat the food. Very often, says Handy, we appreciate things, but we don't appreciate things individually. We throw everything in like a cholent. That's what she says. What does that mean? Instead of taking one bowl of whole grain rice and chewing it 36 times and thinking, wow, this is delicious. This is how Hashem is putting nourishment into my body. Instead, we eat rice and meatballs and sauce and salad and dressing, so many things together, we can't appreciate each separate thing. I was thinking, she says something very interesting. You're not supposed to take off two articles of clothing together, like a shirt and a sweater. Why? It says it makes you forget. What does it mean if you take off two articles of clothing? Like if I would go home and take off this and this when it's time to get ready for bed. So why is that not, what do you mean you forget? What do you forget? What does that mean? Chazal say you forget. Forget what? Hashem wants you to appreciate every single garment. You have a shirt, you have a sweater. Don't take it off like one thing. Don't forget the chesed Hashem does with you with every single garment. So she says, don't live your life like a chulam, like a mishmash. That's mamash akur. I'm on page 412 here, okay? You should appreciate every single thing Hashem gives us. It's unique flavor. It's unique taste, unique style, unique color. We learn if a child says to his mother, oh, you're such a great mother. You make such delicious chocolate cake. You know the kids when they come in from kindergarten, like inevitably when they ask them, why is your mother such a good mommy? So they write something about the food. Okay? And you're thinking to yourself, I'm slaving away for you. They're writing about the food. Because so it shows you that food's very important in our lives. Oh, you're such a great mother. You make a delicious chocolate cake. Esther, you're a kindergarten teacher. Are you smiling? Do the kids always say something about their mother and food? They don't. Not anymore? That's interesting. What?
My kids always did.
So. Oh, Shani's kids always say it. Okay? And we just, you know, she makes good pizza. Okay. Oh, you're such a great mother, which came from the store. You make such delicious chocolate cake. You make the best cake, and I love it. And then he says, can I have another piece? The mother wants to give him the whole cake after the compliment. So it is with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The more we say thank you, the more apt we are to get Yeshuos, which ties into the first piece we spoke about, and the closer we are to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to our purpose in this world. Okay, let's going back to the Sefer here, okay? So we're on the example of eating. A person may desire to eat a particular food, and he decides he's going to conquer this desire. He decides to only eat certain foods, but not that desired food. This is so. What did I do the other night? I told one of my boys, I said, you know what I just did? It was, I don't remember what time it was, evening, and I didn't want to eat dessert. I took a nether. My mom took a nether. I said, I'm taking a nether. I'm not eating anything besides, I think it was a cup of homemade compote, which doesn't have, it's just cooked food. I took a nether. I'm not eating anything tonight. It was then very easy, actually, because once you take a nether, you can't rescind on it. I didn't say blinator, I'm not eating dessert. I said, I'm taking a nether, I'm not eating anything. Okay? It was actually a good tool. But let's say you don't need to do that. You decide you only eat certain foods, but not that desired food. This is a very superficial form of avodah. It's likely to fail. Okay? He is working without understanding the basic principle. You need to understand the basic principle. He may have read in Svarim that physical desire is a lowly trait which distances a person from this creator, so he decides not to eat. But the truth is, it's not really true. Physical desire is not a lowly trait. It depends how you channel your physical desire. Physical desire for food, let's say, is not a lowly trait. We just proved. Masha Chachma teaches that the first command in Torah is to eat. That's filling a physical desire. That can't be a lowly trait. That's the first thing Hashem commanded mankind. But you have to know how to channel your physical desire. A perfect example of that is marital relations. Is it a lowly trait or is it Kedushin? Marriage is called Kedushin. It depends how you channel that physical desire and that koach. It could either be the most debased thing or it could be Kedushin. Each day is a new struggle. We cannot say he will certainly fail, but if he doesn't understand the nature of his yetzer, of his soul, it is almost certain he will fail. Okay? That's what he says, just like you can't do kashrus without going to the vat, and you can't be chal without knowing how yeast will rise. You have to understand in the Ruchni Yisrael what you're dealing with and who you are fighting against. And if you don't, you will almost certainly fail. We see that in general, such commitments last for a very short time. That's why, talking about the Ruchni, the Gashmis realm, I'm not for them. If they work for you, that's fine. Personally, I'm not, I don't, whatever, they're not for me. Fad diets. I don't think that fad diets are the healthiest idea or positive way of eating, because you really need to train yourself how to eat your whole life healthy. So you go on a fad diet and maybe you lose, I don't know how much weight, ever much weight you lose very quickly, but then what happens when you finish? So now you're not drinking a kale shake every single day for lunch, and now you want to introduce real food, so you don't know what to do. You have to understand the chachma behind food. You have to understand what rice fills you up and what rice is just carbs. You have to understand what fat is healthy, like salmon and avocado, and what fat is dangerous, like the Boston cream donut from Dunkin' Donuts. Nothing against Dunkin' Donuts, but you just have to understand the difference between the fat and the salmon avocado salsa you just ate with some slivered roasted almonds on top, which is a very healthy lunch, compared to the Dunkin' Donuts croissant with the, I don't know, thing that's not really an egg sitting inside that sandwich. So what's the problem? They're both fat. So this is a perfect example. And he's talking about food. That's the only reason I'm bringing it up. He talks about it, by the way, for a little while. I don't think we're not even going to finish it tonight. A few pages he spends on food. So if you don't understand the science behind the food, then you're not going to know how to eat healthy. Fat is fat. So this has 25 grams of fat, that is 25 grams of fat, so I could eat whichever one I want. So what's going to happen? You almost certainly fail. So the person who's eating the healthy fats every day is going to be trim and in shape, and the person who's going to Dunkin' Donuts every day is going to compare the fat grams. It's the same. This is a really good example, actually. So what does that mean? You don't know the chachma behind what you're doing. You have to know what you're battling. You have to understand the inyan. Otherwise, such commitments last for a very short time and then fade and then come to an end. So when the fat diet comes to an end, and now you're not eating green kale shake every single day, and you want to eat normal food, you don't even know what to eat. Why do you know what to eat? Because you don't understand the chachma behind what you're eating. Before committing to not eating a certain food, I'm literally quoting, I don't know, he's like talking a lot about food here. You should think, quote, do I want to eat or not? It's amazing when you look at babies, by the way, okay? Babies and toddlers, before they're trained in terms of social eating, they won't eat if they're not hungry. They will not eat if they're not hungry. And it doesn't matter how much is left on the plate, they're going to push it away. Then they become a little older, and then we all learn about social eating, and it becomes a whole different story. But Lamaisa, they're really listening to their drives and their natural desires. So that's what the Mechaber is trying to have us identify our internal self before committing to not eat a certain food. You should think, do I want to eat this or not? You should then become aware of the two forces operating within. The force that desires to eat, and the opposing force that seeks to abstain. So once again, I'm quoting from Henny Machos, even though I couldn't find the line of Hashem, please help me not. If you don't help me close my mouth, I'm going to eat the whole cake. It's in here somewhere. If you know which page, you could tell me. I couldn't find it when I was preparing share. Oh, this is going to be too long. I have a minute and a half. I'm not starting this. I'm going to give you a different example. I believe later next week we'll come to Henny Machos. Okay, you have to know the forces, that the opposing force and the positive force. So Rabbi Zavlev gives a certain mashal, and we just have to be aware of what we're battling. He talks about torn jeans, like ripped jeans. Okay, so he says, if you took someone from a different planet and you showed them ripped jeans, okay, like they're full of holes, it's more holes and rips than the actual jeans, and you took them to the Salvation Army, and you said, would you like to buy these? They're a piece of garbage. They would say, no, why would I want to buy these? They have more holes than fabric. I don't want these jeans. But so how come if you take someone from our society to, I don't know, any store on Rodeo Drive, yeah, Rodeo Drive, and they take them to Gucci and Versace, and what else do they have over there? I don't know. Very fancy stores. And you say, you know, these ripped jeans cost $1,500. Is that a good price for ripped jeans from a designer? It's probably more expensive. Would you like to buy these ripped jeans? I'll say, of course I want to buy the ripped jeans. On the back pocket says Versace, and this pocket says Dolce & Gabbana. I don't know if I'm pronouncing right, and everyone's going to know it. I mean, yeah, I want to spend $1,500. What happened? The guy in the Salvation Army from another planet said, are you crazy? Why would I want to wear that piece of garbage? The guy in Rodeo Drive says, of course I want to wear that. What's the problem? You have to be aware of your Yetzer. We have to be also aware of how society influences our Yetzer. We are very strongly influenced by the societies in which we live. And you see this very much in the realm of food. Children, pay attention. They will not eat when they're not hungry. Babies will stop nursing when they don't want anymore. And if you try and force them, they're going to throw up. They don't want it. And even toddlers, they will stop eating when they don't want. The mother tries to say, finish everything that's on your plate. No, we shouldn't be training them to finish everything on their plate. They have their natural instinct. They know when they, I believe in Marv's upstairs. Everyone's going upstairs. We have permission from the Rav to be down here. They know when they don't want anymore because they are in tune with their natural inclinations. A person has to be in tune with their natural inclinations. So before committing to not eating a certain food, you should think, do I want to eat it or not? You should then become aware of the two forces operating within, the force that desires to eat, the force that desires to abstain. And so at least you know what you are dealing with. So with this, we will end. Please don't forget the first piece we began with, even though it's very interesting, a lot about food, and it speaks to us in a very visceral, real, applicable way. Please don't forget the piece from Family First, which if you missed the beginning of Shir, go back and listen while you tow it. It's really, really powerful. And the Chizuk email we got from someone who lives out of state, and Baruch Hashem, how this year really helped her in a very real way, Erev Chag. And of course, we thank the Frun family very much for the zchus of having this year, the Zeichon Nishmas, their mother, Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzchak, Allah HaHasham. I wish everybody a wonderful week. And as it all, next week's year is on Tuesday night. I announced it last week also, okay? You know I try very hard to the best of my ability to be keep the Koveya Itim. I really do. That's another question of Shabbos Lam and Aleph Aleph. One is a Saktaba period of Erivya. The other one is Kavata Itim the Torah. So I really am so makbid. If I have to change it, it means I have to change it. But it's on Tuesday night next week. If you can tune in on Tuesday night for some reason, so I have an idea. Wednesday night at 8:30, got a YU Torah. I'm not making a joke. I'm not being facetious. I'm being serious. Play this year, Be'ezor Hashem. Okay, I will send out the reminder on the chat that it's on Tuesday night, and Shari's also going to send out the reminder as well. Have a wonderful Shabbos, everybody. Okay, all the best. Kol Tov, thank you so much. The person who direct messages.